The 26th of December, nine games, just finished a close one. Probably a close one. Maybe we did see it coming the way Sacramento have been playing. We will talk about that game as well as the other eight games. Still no update on Luka Doncic. Maybe he's walking to his MRI. Who knows? This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We are also with the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Nine games to talk about. We had some good ones. We had lots of fantasy relevant performances. A good night of basketball after some weird scheduling and all sorts of things. There are questions. I see the questions, but let's start with the games. First game of the night, Charlotte at Washington. As expected, there was some fantasy relevance in this one. Washington, move that tab over there. Washington do get the win, 113 to 110. Don't need that open either. Miles Bridges, welcome back. 22 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 4 threes. This is what we wanted when we drafted him, and we just haven't got it. So hopefully, he did look a little bit better in the last game, better in this one. Hopefully, he is returning to that top 50 form that we know he can produce. Mark Williams, probably the biggest storyline coming out of this game. 16 and 8 with a steal. That's fine. The 5 assists are interesting too. But what's most interesting is the fact that he played 26 minutes. He hadn't cracked 20 minutes prior to this game. So I think we are good to go with Mark Williams. The only drawback now will be the fact that he will probably continue to sit back-to-backs at least for the foreseeable future. But other than that, I think we're almost back to starter level Mark Williams, which is good news for anyone that has him on their roster. LaMelo just continues to shoot a lot, 31 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. So good night for him, as long as the percentages aren't of any concern to you. Brandon Miller also returned and had 18 and 9 assists. So this is what we actually saw them doing in the preseason. We saw Brandon Miller handling the ball a lot. And we haven't seen it to this point, not to the level that we saw tonight. So this is interesting as well. With Brandon Miller back, Cody Martin moved back to the bench and we can move on from him. Okay, over to Washington. Where do we want to start? Let's start with Alex Saar because I just had him, I wrote him about him in an article that will come out tomorrow, I think, on RotoWire. He had 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 blocks. So very good production-wise. Interestingly, he split minutes here with Jonas Valanciunas, something that we have not seen for the last few weeks. I wouldn't say that this is going to be a trend moving forward. I think it was maybe just the fact that they were up against Nick Richards and Mark Williams, two pretty sizable guys. They went with Valanciunas a little bit. And Valanciunas played well. We know when he plays 20 minutes, he's basically a walking double-double. He had 14 and 12 here with 3 steals. So I will say the 3 steals are a nice bonus. And I was, a side note, I was against someone in one of my leagues where I should dominate steals and I'm far ahead of him in the standings. But he had Valanciunas on his team tonight and he also had Jaime Jaquez who had 5 steals. So that's just great. Jordan Poole, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. Another really nice night for him. Justin Champagne, 13 minutes. Look, the numbers are pretty good. 8 and 6, 2 blocks and a steal. But the minutes consistently aren't there now, so I don't think we need to be rostering him. Koulibaly returned, had 26-5. He's looked really good recently, offensively. He's going to have a dip at some point, so be ready for that. And then the bench guys, Brogdon, we're probably still holding him. The fact he's coming off the bench is good. I don't know whether this is just part of the getting him back to game shape, although is he ever in game shape? I guess you could make that argument. We probably still hold him. We don't need to hold Corey Kispert or Keyshawn George anywhere. Miami at Orlando. Miami get the win on a Tyler Hero basket. Low scoring, not surprising at all with these two teams, 89-88. So welcome to 1993, everyone. For Miami, as I said, Jaime Jaquez had 5 steals, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. This is a 12-team line. I wouldn't fall for it at this point. If you want to take a flyer, then by all means, go ahead. But as Josh always says on his show, you don't get this performance, you get the next one. And Duncan Robinson was just trash here. They went with Jaquez. Jovic, he was fine. But again, the next game, if he's playing well, then Jaquez might only play 20 minutes. You just don't know with this Miami team. So it's pretty hard to roster anyone confidently outside of Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. Alec Burks, 17 points. We know he can score the basketball, but he had done literally nothing up to this point. So again, I wouldn't fall for that. Terry Rozier had 14 points in 29 minutes. He's a maybe if he is available. Khalil Ware fell off a bit here, 2 points, not much else. Deeper leagues, I still do think there's a little bit of value there if you need blocks and rebounds. For Orlando, Trevellyn Queen remained in the starting lineup. Not as good as his last game, which I think is not surprising. 8 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, but 37 minutes is very intriguing. Especially when Wendell Carter only played 15. So I think Trevellyn Queen is probably worth at least a speculative add in standard leagues. If he's going to play 35 minutes, he's going to do stuff because there's not a lot on this Orlando roster at the moment. So they'll take it from anyone they can get. So he's interesting. Tristan Da Silva has pushed his or forced his way into the standard league discussion, I think, with his performances of late. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, threes and steals, that's what he is. You got 1-3, you got 3 steals here. Goga playing very well. As I said, Wendell Carter only played 15 minutes and basically he just split the center minutes with Goga and they went 33 of Goga and 15 of Wendell Carter. So very interesting. Goga had 10 and 14 with 3 steals and 3 blocks. He is clearly the best fantasy option at center. Whether that's the way they go once they get Franz back and, well, eventually Franz, but Paolo Banchero back. We will see Jonathan Isaac, no. And this is why it's really hard with Cole Anthony and Anthony Black. They did absolutely nothing tonight and then could come out one of them in the next game and score 20 points. We just don't know. Okay, third game of the night, OKC get the win over Indiana. Indiana, look, they were up for a portion of this game. They looked pretty good. It was a fast game, no surprises there. But Thunder, just too talented in the end. Shea, don't really need to talk about Shea. He's just fantastic. Jalen Williams, he continues to struggle a little bit. I think there's probably a buy low opportunity for him at the moment. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, but no defensive stats, poor from the field. I'm not too worried about it. He will get going offensively at some point, but this is probably a bit of an opportunity if you would like to acquire him. Isaiah Hartenstein had 11 and 13 with a block. Cason Wallace had 2 steals, so if you streamed him in for steals, you got those. If you streamed Isaiah Joe for threes, you got 1, so we'll say that was a miss. And then we know the story with all of these guys playing around 15 to 20 minutes a night. It's hard to trust any of them. Lou Dort was decent, but again, I'm not really prioritizing him given the depth of their rotation at the moment. For Indiana, Tyrese, 4 points, only shot the ball 6 times. What the hell, dude? Like, you're meant to be the best player on this team and you're shooting the ball 6 times? He's been better. We will try and overlook this performance, but this is a really bad one. Nembhard, on the other hand, had probably his best game of the season, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists and a steal. Oh, sorry, and a block. He's probably an ad. He's been playing 30-ish minutes. He's scoring the ball. He's getting 4 assists, 5 assists usually. So there's just enough there for him. Siakam was serviceable. Benedict Mathurin hit some shots, so that's nice. If you streamed him in or picked him up, you just keep holding him till he cools off and then you move on. And then Obi Toppin only played 7 minutes if you picked him up or streamed him in, as I did. That was very disappointing. No word on the severity of this injury. He was slated to come back into the game. I think he did come back for a little bit, but yeah, didn't play the second half. So keep an eye on that. He's obviously not a must roster player, so it doesn't matter too much. TJ McConnell had 13 and 3 streamer only at this point, I think, TJ. Chicago at Atlanta. What the hell happened in Atlanta here? I was back and forth watching this game. Chicago had it in the bag. They were up by 21 at some point. And I was thinking, this bloody Atlanta team, man, they're hard to get a read on. They win, they beat Boston, they beat the Thunder or whoever. Anyway, they beat the good teams, and then you come up against Chicago, who don't have Dosunmu, don't have Josh Giddey. They're running out Javon Carter and Talen Horton-Tucker, and you're going to lose. And then they just score 50 points in the last quarter to win. What was the final score? 141 to 133. It was just wild. We'll start with the Bulls. Dalen Terry did start. I mentioned that he might, and he did. He probably shouldn't have. He had 0 points. We're not looking at him. A good game for Coby White, which is nice. He's been down a little bit. Zach LaVine was very good. Vooch continues to shoot the ball very well, 19 and 8 with 2 steals. Patrick Williams is the most mid player ever, I think. 11 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. He's very back end, 12-team rosterable. I think that's where he fits and where he will continue to fit. Javon Carter, his best game in 2 years? 26 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. When the Bulls signed him last year, I think it was start of last year, I did think that he was intriguing. I thought because he played well for, I want to say the Bucks, but I actually can't remember who it was. I thought he played well. I thought he was going to come in and have a decent role. Sorry, I'm reading questions. I need to stop reading questions because it distracts me. And it didn't eventuate, obviously. And it did take Dosunmu, Giddey, and Lonzo being out here for him to play, but he played well. If those three are out again, maybe we give Javon Carter a very short look in standard leagues, but this could honestly just be a one-game flash in the pan. We don't hear from him again this season. And Talen Horton-Tucker, classic THT performance, 0 points in 22 minutes. And then for the Atlanta side, this box score looks a lot better than it did with 12 minutes to go in the game. Jalen Johnson, fantastic. Trae Young, fantastic. Dyson Daniels, this is fine. 15, 7, and 4 with a steal. Obviously, we like maybe another steal or a block in there, but everything else is A-OK. Capella had 8, 4, and 2 with a block. He's splitting minutes with Larry Nance at this stage, which is really good for Nance because he is far better in 24 minutes than Capella is at this point. Nance had 12 points, One rebound, one assist, one steal, one block, two threes. So we roster Larry Nance, I think. I picked him up in a few leagues and I'll just roll with him until we get word on Okongwu. DeAndre Hunter had 25 points and should be rostered. And Garrison Matthews, who had, what did he have, six threes or something in the last game, unsurprisingly had one three-pointer for 5 points in 19 minutes. Oh, speaking of high-scoring games, Toronto at Memphis. Memphis 155 to Toronto 126. We will start with Toronto. The numbers are pretty good. I mean, when you score 126 points, then the fantasy lines are going to look pretty good. RJ Barrett had 27, 9, and 10. Scotty Barnes, 26, 6, and 8. Even Grady Dick, 14 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, a 3-pointer. Egbaji, no, we don't need Egbaji. Interestingly, though, Kelly Olynyk started at center, 14, 5, and 5. This is a 12-team line. 23 minutes makes him someone worth rostering. But do remember that Jakob Poeltl will come back at some point and probably put an end to this. But if, as long as Poeltl is out and if they are going to start Olynyk, then he probably should be picked up everywhere. Chris Boucher, deeper leagues only, I think. And Jonathan Mobo, I mean, he got the defensive stats here, 2 steals and 3 blocks. He has started a few games. He's really just a defensive streamer, but he honestly hasn't been that good. For Memphis, going to be a lot of fantasy value here when you score 150, whatever points it was, 155 points. Where do we want to start? And the minutes are down, obviously, blowout, huge win. So don't really take too much away from this one. Zach Edey had 21 and 16 with 2 blocks. So hopefully I started him last minute. I wasn't going to, and I did. I'm glad I did. Jalen Wells had 17 points. The rest of the guys just did what they do. Probably the biggest news to come out of this game was the fact that Santi Aldama wasn't able to finish the game due to an ankle injury. He's been playing very well. If he can't go in the next game, next week, whatever the time frame is on this, there's probably some streaming value there. I just don't know where it is yet. And we can't use this game as a template because, yeah, we're not going to get this this breakdown of playing time. So keep an eye on Aldama. I would hold him unless we get word that this is some sort of a serious injury, but there's nothing at this point. But there could be someone there like a Jake LaRavia or a John Conchar, Luke Kennard maybe, but time will tell. Time will tell. All right, Brooklyn at Milwaukee. Good win for the Nets here, 111-105. Obviously, Milwaukee very under strength with no Giannis and no Dame, but a good win nonetheless. Any win's a good win for the Nets. Cam Johnson, we'll start with him, 29 points, 6 turnovers, but do we really care? I don't think so. I talked about Noah Clowney. Dorian Finney-Smith, I think, was cleared to play at one point when we did the pregame show, and then he just didn't end up playing. So Clowney, of course, came out and had 20 points in his 31 minutes. Prior to this, though, he hadn't been doing a lot, and Finney-Smith would obviously be close to returning. So Clowney is probably a bit risky. Shake Milton got hot late in this one. He ended up with 20 points, not much else. And this is what's going to happen. We know that with the Nets. There's going to be one guy, two guys that pop off each night, but we're not going to know who that is until it's actually happening. Ben Simmons, 29 minutes, 8, 4, and 9 with a steal. Now, they are on a back-to-back, but they have indicated that he might play tomorrow. So if you do have him, keep an eye on the injury report. Of course, we would expect him not to play, but the fact that they're considering it is a really good sign for his value, both real life and fantasy. For the Bucks, with no Giannis and no Dame, we're going to get bits from other players. Middleton, sell high. Now is when you want to be doing that, if you can. Bobby Portis had 18-8-4. He, again, sell high if you can. Brooke Lopez, at least he had some rebounds here, 7 of them, much better than the 1 that he had in the last game. 20 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks, so a nice night for Lopez, which isn't surprising up against Brooklyn. Centers do tend to play well against the Nets. Ryan Rollins, again, I'll say it again, I do like him as a player, but as soon as they get healthy, he is going to go back to a bench role. So no long-term value here at all. And the same really goes for Gary Trent, Taurean Prince. They're all going to fall way off the radar when Giannis and Dame return. All right, Houston at New Orleans. Comfortable win for the Rockets. No Dylan Brooks, so Amen Thompson continues to start. Only 9 points, but 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 5 blocks. If only he could start every game, wouldn't that be nice? Pretty clear hold. Tari Eason did not play in this one. And Jabari Smith did not play well. Didn't matter. And he has been better than this, so we will give him a pass. And the minutes down for the rest of the starters. As I said, this was a pretty comfortable win. But let's talk about Cam Whitmore, who had 27 points in his 27 minutes. He does this. We know he does this. Is there scope for him playing a meaningful role moving forward? At this stage, I don't think so. If I'm just pulling up the box score here, really. When they're healthy, so when Brooks and Eason are back, I mean, prior to these last two games where Whitmore has played really well and played 27 minutes, he played 14 minutes in the game before that. He played 3 minutes before that, and then he played one game in the whole month before that. So, yes, this is great. If you streamed him in tonight, then well done. Hold him. If Brooks and Eason are back in the next game, you could hold him for one more game and just see what they do with him. But I don't think that there's a path to him playing 25 minutes at this stage anyway. As much as we would like to see that. And then for the worst team in the NBA, the New Orleans Pelicans. Are they the worst? They probably are close, to be fair. Let me have a look. 7, 13. Washington have 5 wins. Oh, why can't I see the Western Conference? I don't know how many wins they have. It mustn't be many. Oh, Western Conference. They have 5. There you go. Washington, New Orleans vying for the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. The Pelicans, Trey Murphy played, so that was good. He wasn't bothered too much by that ankle injury. 21 points. Should be rostered. Eve Misi, not his best game, 2 points. He did have 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. Rookie centers, this is going to happen. We still hold him pretty clearly, I think. DeJounte continues to be, I'm not going to say good. He's not bad. He's getting assists. He's getting steals. He's just not scoring the ball very well. Herb Jones had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. No steals, though, in this game, but he had been stealing the ball quite well. And then we got 19 minutes of Brandon Boston. He got hot late. He got 4 steals. He got 17 points. This does not mean I'm running to grab Brandon Boston. Jordan Hawkins, I've said this every game in the last week. If Hawkins comes on and shoots the ball well, he will stay on the court. If he doesn't, he will get dragged off. And in this one, he went 1 of 8. So he got dragged off, and they went with Brandon Boston and some Daniel Tice. And again, this was a blowout, so we can't read too much into it. All right, second last game, Utah at Portland. Portland get the win on a Scoot Henderson fadeaway that was probably a travel, but they don't call that in the NBA very often. Pivot foot's not allowed to move, and he's dead. But that's fine. Good for Portland to get the win. I don't think either team really care. For the Jazz, no Keontae George, no Jordan Clarkson. I don't know what the hell's going on with Jordan Clarkson. Just rest him for a month. He keeps he plays two games, then he misses a game, then he plays, then he misses three. Plantar fasciitis is not going to go away. So you either limit his minutes or you just give him a month off. Anyway, whatever. It's good for Colin Sexton because it means he can play meaningful minutes. He's been playing well, 19 and 11 in this one. Walker Kessler, only 5 points. I don't know how a guy that's 7'12" only shoots 1 of 5 from the field, but he had 16 boards, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So, whatever. Svi Mykhailiuk, I streamed him in for threes tonight, and I got 6 of them. So I'm pretty happy with that. If Keontae George, if Jordan Clarkson continue to be out, Svi is a good 3-point streamer. And look, I mean, they gave their bench some run here. I think I streamed him in Micah Potter tonight. That stream didn't work well. He didn't even play. So anyway, you win some, you lose some, I guess. I'm not really interested in any of those bench guys in Utah and Portland. Scoot Henderson, I said he hit the winning shot. He had 18 points, 10 assists, 2 steals. This is what we thought he would do coming into the season. We just haven't seen it. Is this the start of something? I doubt it. Anthony Simons was just trash in this one. They went with Scoot. They went with Denny down the stretch. They were just going off in the last quarter, so they stuck with them. Denny had 27 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal and a block. And he had half of those points in the last quarter. So really nice game. He's probably a rosterable guy at the moment. But just be prepared. There will probably be a week or two where he does nothing and we move on from him. Shaedon Sharpe also got really hot in the last quarter. 27 points for him. I've seen him dropped in a few leagues, which I'm surprised at. DeAndre Ayton had 18 and 12 with 2 blocks. That's a pretty good line for DeAndre Ayton. Tamani Kamara, 6 points, 8 rebounds, a steal and a block. I think we can probably move on. It's always hard to move on from someone that's playing 30 minutes a night, which he is on a lot of occasions. But, yeah, his upside's not that high. I don't mind holding him in 14-team leagues, but in 12s, you can probably move on from him. Oh, did I open the wrong game? Hang on. Let me just... I must have... Oh, I did. Hang on. All right. Let's move the... As I fiddle, I don't need to see that. Let's move this over to here. And let's... Detroit at Sacramento. Look at that. Seamless. Detroit at Sacramento. This was the last game of the night. And... really just sums up Sacramento's season, I suppose. Detroit get the win, 114-113 on a Jaden Ivey 4-point play with 3 seconds remaining roughly. And Sacramento had used all their timeouts, so they couldn't advance the ball. So well played, Sacramento. For the Pistons, let's start with them. Let's start with Cade. He was very good. Again, continues to put together an all-star, I think an all-star caliber season. Whether he'll get picked, I don't know. I'm actually going to put out my first draft of all-star teams maybe tonight, in the next couple of days anyway. So that'll be, let's see. Let's see what that looks like. Jaden Ivey, I thought he played pretty well in this one. Obviously, the game-winning play is icing on the cake, but it was a good performance by him, 19 and 6 with a block. Jalen Duren looking better, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 32 minutes. This is why I thought he would be a top 60, top 50 player. We just haven't had it. So he's looked better the last week. Hold him. Let's see what eventuates here. Malik Beasley had 22 points. He's... probably both he and Santi Aldama, the two longest streams of all time. Still rostered in under 50% of Yahoo leagues, though. Again, he is in my waiver wire article, which will come out tomorrow. And Tobias Harris, I haven't looked at the questions here for today's show. I can see there are quite a few, but I can almost guarantee you there's a Tobias question or a comment or something. 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists in 27 minutes. It has been really rough. What's his value? I think he's probably top 80 rest of season, best case scenario. If Detroit do opt to go with a little bit more of Fontecchio, Asar Thompson's minutes could increase slightly. They just don't need Tobias to play 30, 32 minutes a night. So I would probably have him, as I said, top 80. Top 100 is probably fairly safe. Sacramento were without Domantas Sabonis. He was out due to an illness, not the back injury, although probably a good thing for his back that he had the night off. They were leading this one the whole way and obviously just threw it in the toilet at the end. Commentators tried to make a case for it being an unnatural shooting motion, but which on it probably was, to be fair. But if you call that, then you're calling half the three-point shots in the last few seconds of any game. So you can't really make that call. It wasn't egregious at all. Keegan Murray had 11 and 12 with a steal and a block, so better from Keegan. But probably the downside of this is that he had 9 points in about the first 6 minutes. So he had 2 points for the rest, the remaining 30 minutes of the game. He started off aggressive. I thought, okay, here we go. Didn't turn into much. It is better, but it's still not great. DeMar, speaking of not great, 19 points is fine. 4 assists, no defensive stats, 4 of 6 from the line. It's pretty mid, to be honest. And with no Sabonis, this was an opportunity for him to step up a bit, and he didn't. We're not dropping him, but he is looking a little bit wilted. I don't know what the right word is. I'm not going to say washed because Josh says washed. But, he's certainly not the player that he was a couple of years ago or even last year. Alex Len started 22 minutes. He had 2 blocks, 6 rebounds. He can be a blocks and rebounds streamer if Sabonis misses any more time here. Fox and Monk were both fine. Monk, 0 assists is not the best night for him, but he'll be okay. Trey Lyles was the center we wanted to look at with Sabonis out, and he had 20 points and 8 rebounds. And I think if Sabonis, again, misses time, it would be Lyles who would be the priority there. Their bench rotation continues to be weird. Keon Ellis was first guard off the bench. I thought he came on and had an impact, and he ended up playing 14 minutes. So I just don't know what's going on in here in Sacramento, and it's really hard to get a read on anything. That's all the games. Let's have a look at the 1,000 questions that are sitting in here and see what have we got. All right. And yes, the first question is a Tobias question. There we go. Surprise, surprise. Drop Tobias Harris for Dinwiddie, Nembhard, or Brogdon, or hold for a while. Nembhard's interesting. I mean, he's playing well. I still think Harris probably, come the end of the season, finishes the highest out of all of these players. Brogdon will get injured at some point. Dinwiddie could be a month. We don't know, unless we do know, unless we have heard anything about Luka. Shams, is that a Luka? Oh, yeah, hang on, here we go. Okay, there's probably something in the comments about this, but Luka will be reevaluated in 1 month. Okay, so I said, 4 to 6 weeks is what I thought. I'm pretty close, but we'll see. So this to me would say it's probably a grade 2, probably not a 3. If it was a 3, they would be ruling him out. If he's going to be reevaluated in a month, I think it's probably a grade 2. Okay, so we're looking at Dinwiddie and Grimes for a month at least. If you want short-term production, I think you could add Dinwiddie there or Brogdon or Nembhard. Tobias, like I said, I don't think he is going to be a top 50 player. He's probably top 80 to top 100, which in a standard league is streamable. Sort of top 100 guys you want to be holding on to. So I'm okay with that. Chad accidentally sat Halliburton. Good call. Accidentally a good call, but a good call. In a dynasty league, so trying to get, is asking for those two. So asking for Eve Misi, Steph Cassell, and Lou Dort, and offering Darius Garland. Is that too much? Look, I mean, if you're keen to move Garland, I'm not super high on Cassell or Misi long term. I know Misi's had a good year so far, but I don't see him as this sort of starting level center long term or anything like that. Dort is Dort. Cassell, still a bit of an unknown. I think he's been all right this season, but again, I'm not this. This draft class is just not great, and so I think it makes certain rookies look better or sound better than they actually are. But you are getting two young pieces for Garland, who's, well, he's not that old, to be honest. But, I would probably try to get more than that for Garland, but I'm also not a dynasty expert. What else? Tobias is a painful hold, very much so. Did I see the Blazers commentators calling Ayton the Grinch after he dressed as the Grinch? I did not, but I'm not surprised. Even the home commentators don't like him. Goga's stocks are insane. Has he been doing this in the past? He has been a good shot blocker in the past. Let me just bring him up. He's always been one of those centers who, whenever he plays minutes, he puts up numbers. He just hasn't had the opportunity and hasn't been in a situation where the team has faith in him. They've sort of been forced into it this year, and it's paid off. So if we look at his numbers, actually, let's look at his per 36 for the last few years. If we look at his, so per 36 this year, he's at 3.8. combined steals and blocks. Last year, 3.9. Year before that, 3.3. Year before that, 3.2. So I would say yes, he's always been decent at steals and blocks, more so blocks. But yeah, I'm just looking through his game log here. Like start of last year, he played 20 plus minutes in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So sort of for a month-ish, and he had quite a few rebounds, a lot of blocks, and a decent amount of steals. So it is not totally surprising. Mark Williams is him, apparently he is. Keep an eye on Nembhard. Yes, I would do that. Mark Williams gets up to that 22-23 average I was talking about earlier. Same with Middleton. Mark Williams, I mean, what did he play tonight? 26 minutes. So I guess that average is going to be 26 minutes moving forward. I don't see why they would play him 26 and then scale him back all of a sudden. So assuming he stays healthy, maybe he does get to 30 minutes. I wasn't sure he would. Are we adding Jonas back? I don't think so. If you want to just see if this is a change in strategy from them, but I don't think it is. I think it was more of a one-off. Okay, yep, there's the Luka news. Imagine if Halliburton wasn't completely dominated, the Pacers would have won. They were up, so it was Thunder are a very good team. But yes, Halliburton was just non-existent tonight. Nembhard and Sharp are on your radar. I don't know if they will be. Will likely replace Tobias Harris. I think when all's said and done, Harris probably still finishes with a better rank. But I don't mind Sharp. I know he's pretty one-dimensional, but Portland are invested in him. They're going to run him out there and give him every opportunity. So what do I think of Hartenstein versus Josh Hart rest of season? In a points league, it's maybe Hart rest of season. I just, once Chet comes back, Hartenstein will take a little bit of a hit. So it's probably Josh Hart. It's pretty close. Javon Carter masterclass. It sure was. We've got the Luka update. Yep. We think it's Kennard. Yeah, it could be Kennard. I like Kennard as a fantasy player. I've said I think he has some playmaking upside, which we just don't get an opportunity to see. So if Aldama misses time here, maybe Kennard can see a few extra minutes. Weird question for me. Is there such a thing? In the 22-23, there were obvious guys to grab during trades even. It felt like that has not been the case. I think it was an outlier. This year there's just no rumours, really. Nothing that's got any traction at this point. But we are still like 6 weeks away from the trade deadline. So we may get some obvious guys. To be fair, we've probably got a couple in certain teams. Brooklyn being one of those. I still think Noah Clanny will have a period where he is must roster. We aren't there yet. What else have we? Well, hang on, scrolled too fast. Clowney looked good beside Claxton. Yeah, I think Dorian Finney-Smith is a pretty good trade candidate as well. I think a lot of teams would like someone like him on their team. What's the Pelicans' issue? I think it's a few things. I think part of it is just that they've been so disrupted to start this season. They've obviously got guys back now, but DeJounte Murray being integrated as the starting point guard, it was so stop-start. He was in there, then he was out for a month, now he's back in, and then he's had different players to play alongside. Herb Jones was out. He's sort of their defensive anchor. A lot of what they do works around Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. They're not there. I think it's just one of those situations where injuries have come at the wrong time. And you would assume that when Zion comes back or Ingram comes back, they'll be, okay, good to go. We're a top five team in the West again or top six, whatever. I don't think that'll be the case. I just think this season might be done for them. And honestly, if they can somehow land the number one pick, and it might impact their decision in terms of keeping Zion, because if they can get Cooper Flagg and build around him, they would do that. So is Doncic back in February? What are we, 27th of December or 26th of December over there? Yeah, probably. And All-Star break is when? So we've got, 7 weeks until the All-Star break. I would say there's a chance he's out till after the All-Star break, because that gives him sort of basically 2 months off. Yeah, it might depend a little bit on where Dallas is sitting. If they're still afloat, which I think they might be, then they will be really cautious with Luka. So, yes, there is a chance that he is out or back in February. Yep, and March, worst case. Is Collier a must-add? I don't think so. He might be at some point. But for now, I don't think so. He played reasonably well tonight, but Keontae George has got to come back and Jordan Clarkson. So he is one of those guys who could have a role later, but I don't think it's yet. Is Ayton a sell high? If you think, is he probably is, because he's played more than one game in a row. What would you get? I think he's a top 50 player, best case. So that's what I would be looking at. Yeah, that's interesting. The pressure of not having Isaiah Stewart there has helped Duren. It may have. He makes sense as a good player. If you look at him, he's the size of a truck and he's like 12 years old. I still think that there is a world where he is a good starting center in the NBA, and maybe we're just seeing the start of it. I don't know. What else? As I just read through here, Harris. Yeah, look, that's possible that Harris does have a period somewhere in the season where he's a top 20 player. I don't think it happens. A couple of years ago, possibly last year even, I think we had a period where he was a top 40 player. I don't think it'll happen this year. Who do I like or prefer, Dinwiddie or Grimes? They are both also in my waiver wire article. I don't know, to be honest. I have picked up Grimes in a 14-team league. I think he will start. That's just based on what we've seen this season when the Mavericks have had injuries. Grimes tends to start, but that doesn't mean that he'll play more than Dinwiddie. As I said on yesterday's show, I think it does depend on a little bit on what Kyrie wants to do and how he's going. If Kyrie is playing as the ball handler and running the offense, it'll be Grimes. If he wants to play off ball a little bit, if he thinks that he's got a nice mismatch defensively, that sort of thing, then they will put the ball in Dinwiddie's hands a bit. So I think it'll be up and down from one game to the next. In terms of who does more, Dinwiddie probably has a slightly better fantasy game because he gets you some assists as well as points and threes. Grimes is really just points and threes. So Dinwiddie maybe has the safer floor, although Grimes starting will mean he gets first opportunity. So I think you can make a case for both. So it's really just, I mean, if you can pick up both of them, do, but it's going to be hard, I think, to hold both of them. Trade Zion for Miles Bridges and Alex Saar in a 12-team. Yeah, I think that's all right. Per game, obviously, Zion is much better and he's the best player. Miles Bridges is, he looked good today. I don't know. I'd be okay with that. If you need production now, yes. If you can afford to, do it, then yeah. Are we trading for Luka now that we know Melo for Luka to get Luka? I'm probably the wrong person to ask. I wouldn't, but that's because I just love Luka so much. LaMelo. So I don't think I would. I think I'd rather LaMelo. He has a few more holes in his game, efficiency wise, than Luka, or field goal percentage. Obviously, Luka has the free throw issues from time to time. But I think they're comparable enough that I would go with the guy that I at least know is going to, in theory, be playing for the next month. Did I talk about Alec Burks? I did. We know he can do this. Just a flyer, though, I don't think... I don't think he's someone we need to prioritise. Day two of the test is looking good. Yeah, I don't know what the score is. I haven't been watching it. And would I rather have Benjamin Simmons? Oh, I like Benjamin Simmons. Or Rosie as my stash borderline guy now. They're very different, again. And that is always the cop-out answer here. But Simmons, if you need assists, if you need rebounds, if you need steals. Rosie, if you need points and threes. Pretty simple. I think Simmons right now playing 30 minutes a night and they're talking about him playing a back-to-back is someone that needs to be rostered, where Rozier is pretty borderline at the moment. All right, that'll do. That was a lot of games. That was a lot of questions, but I like games and I like questions. And that will do. How many games have we got tomorrow, people? Let's have a look. I have no idea. All right, we have another nice 8-game slate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 8 games. Beautiful. So bang on where I like it, 7 or 8 games. So streaming will be possible tomorrow, but not necessary. I will be doing a pre-game show. I will probably be doing a... Oh, sorry, Fat Cookie Monster just missed the Luka injury timeline. So reevaluated in a month. So we're basically looking at all of January. He is out. All-Star weekend or All-Star game is about 2 weeks after that. So I would assume the games end, it's usually about 3 days before the All-Star game. So on the Wednesday or the Thursday or something. And then they get a week off after, or 4 days after that. So best case, I would say he's back just before the All-Star game, but I wouldn't be surprised if they just opt to sit him out until after the All-Star break, which would basically put him out for 2 months. So that's where we're looking at with him. Yes, so I will be back with a pregame show tomorrow. I think I'm doing a pregame show with Skitty over on the Insight Fantasy Sports channel as well. I'll have to check with him, though. I haven't spoken to him for a little while, but I think I am. But that will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. Again, please go and find us and do all the subscribe and thumb and download stuff. I am Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.